Good morning. This meeting of House Fisheries Committee will come to order at 10:02 a.m. in room 120. Welcome, everyone, and please remember to turn your phones off or on silence at any rate. Today is Tuesday, February 7th, 2017. Members present are Representative Eastman, Representative Tarr, Representative Fansler, Representative Chenault, and myself, Chair Stutz. Representative Newman has previously been excused. Let the record reflect we have a quorum to conduct business. We're also joined by Kelly Burnett from House Records, Summers Cole from the LIO, and of course Reed Harris, my Fisheries Committee aide. Please note at 11 o'clock we will gavel out and begin the Department of Fish and Game House of Finance Subcommittee. This meeting will be chaired by Rep. Ortiz. Today we have one bill on the agenda, House Bill 88, Board of Fisheries Membership. Presenting the bill is my staff, Reed Harris. We also have members of the Board of Fisheries and the Department of Fish and Game in attendance and available for questions. Thank you, Reed. If you would place yourself on the record, please.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Reed Harris. I am the Fisheries Committee aide and staff to Representative Stutz. I'm here to present House Bill 88, an act relating to the composition of the Board of Fisheries. The bill itself is technically simple. It changes the composition of the board from 7 to 9 members. If I could, I'd just give a brief history of the Department of Fish and Game and the Board of Histories, Madam Chair.
Please.
Okay. If I could turn the committee's attention to the document under Rep. Stutz's letterhead titled DFG Board of Fisheries, A Brief History. As everyone in the committee is aware, salmon fisheries and the preservation of them was one of the things that drove Alaska towards statehood. In 1949, the territorial legislature created the Alaska Territorial Fisheries Service, which later became the Department of Fish and Game in 1957 when the legislature anticipated statehood. The first legislature created the Board of Fish and Game and the Fish and Game Advisory Committee system. It should be noted the initial board had the fish and the game boards combined, and there were actually 9 members at that time. It wasn't until 1975 that the legislature separated the Boards of Fisheries and the Boards of Game into their own separate boards. Currently, the Alaska Board of Fisheries consists of 7 members serving 3-year terms, and members are appointed by the governor and confirmed by the legislature. The Board of Fisheries' main role is to conserve and develop the fishery resources in the state, and that's for sport, commercial, and subsistence fisheries. If you had any questions about the board process, we do have Glenn Haight, the executive director for the Board of Fisheries, here. It is also outlined at the back of that document, but it's worth noting there's a 7-member Board of Fisheries. The commissioner of the Department of Fish and Game serves as an ex officio member. There's the joint board that can meet and set regulations for the advisory committee guidelines, and then there are advisory committees. Currently, there are 84 committees throughout the state. And these are local groups authorized by state law to provide recommendations to the boards on fishing and wildlife issues. This bill does have a fiscal note due to the expansion of the board. It's estimated at $85,000 a year. The details of the fiscal note are on page 2 of the fiscal note, obviously, but average board honorarium over the past 3 years has been $12,700, and average board member travel per person has been $7,800. So in addition to those costs, the expanded time the board would spend in meetings is anticipated to add a little bit extra to that. So the total is around $85,000 a year.
Thank you. Are there any questions from this committee for Mr. Harris? Seeing none, I will open up public testimony. Is there anyone in-house that would like to testify on this bill? Please come forward. Please come forward. Place yourself on the record with your name and affiliation, if any.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm members of the committee, fishery subcommittee. My name is Richard Davis. I live in Juneau. I'm a 50-year fisherman, commercial fisherman. I recreationally fish and hunt also. Live here in Juneau. I have the privilege today of representing Seafood Producers Cooperative to you on the topic of the expanded Board of Fish. I represent Seafood Producers Cooperative for the last 30 years to United Fishermen of Alaska's Board of Directors, fisheries forums around the state and outside the state, regulatory agencies, and this Alaska legislature. Seafood Producers Cooperative is 600 commercial fishermen, member owners of a business that started in 1944 in Seattle and continues today with 500 of our members fishing commercially in Alaskan waters. We collectively catch, process, and market a variety of Alaska seafood resources through our facility that we own in Sitka and outports that we contract with around the state. So we're not new to fisheries and the regulatory processes and changes that surround it. We are unaware of even isolated fishing industry support for the change to the Board of Fish makeup or any compelling rationale for the idea coming from our industry. The governor's selections for appointment to Alaska's Board of Fisheries are always a matter of subjectivity and controversy, and any effort to increase or appease a greater number of Alaskans by adding to what some of our folks facetiously refer to as this great potluck, if you put two more dishes on the table, it just enlarges the food fight. Today, Alaska's budget deficit and the associated fiscal constraints that surround it render the additional expense required to fund and support an expanded Board of Fish a possibly unaffordable and unnecessary exercise. Conflict of interest is the greatest constraint that a commercial fisherman who serves on the Board of Fish faces. The exclusion from deliberation and a vote over proposals render our effort to assist in changes to the industry really difficult, and that for the last three decades, United Fishermen of Alaska, our association, and most of the commercial fisheries outfits across the state have sought relief from that from the governor and the legislative body. Without that change or an exclusion, any changes to the exclusion of deliberation and vote on proposals by individuals with a conflict, any number of seats could be added to the Board of Fish, resulting in an increased state expense and public effort, but no relief for the commercial fishing industry and the constraints we operate under. We'll submit humbly that satisfying the public's expectations of the Board of Fish process is a subjective exercise that additional appointees in the Board of Fish will not accomplish. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Davis. Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. People call it the fish wars, right? Struggle to maintain the perceived balance on the board, you know, whether it be regional or between commercial sport and subsistence. And this has been an issue that I've long wondered how to address and if the statute shouldn't be more specific to, for example, if it's going to be a 3-3-1 split, should the statute just actually explicitly say that? And one of the reasons is to, you know, avoid the kind of fish war. If it were explicit in the statute, it would be clear, you know, who would fill that position or from where, what region or interest. But this doesn't do that. This just, you know, adds a couple of members. And so another issue that's come up is the individuals being conflicted out because of, you know, their own business interests. And, you know, this seems like it could address that issue. And I just wonder, from your perspective, if you could address sort of the first idea of, you know, the more clear representation and then the second about the conflicts.
I can. Madam Chair, Representative Tarr. Allocation will be a component of a Board of Fish decision as long as there's only one board in this state that handles all of the proposals to change or commence a new fishery or curtail another harvest opportunity. The allocation component of that has always been the rub. With seven members of a Board of Fish, there have been a number of suggestions over the last few decades on how to streamline or make more effective the Board of Fish process. Our previous governor, on his way out, had a joint committee of the Board of Fish and the Board of Game travel across the state, gathering input from citizens of the state. I don't know how extensive it was, but I did see some of the results that they had that they didn't compile that into any recommendations. They had the public's input over changing the makeup of the Board of Fish to accommodate regional boards, for example. If a region of the state felt that it was necessary for them to have the a larger group of folks involved in the Board of Fish process, you could have regional boards. That suggestion has some traction with people around the state of Alaska. Let's have a Southeast board, let's have a Western Alaska board, a South Central board, an Interior board, get a representative from each of those together to constitute a statewide board. There's been a lot of ideas that have been fostered, and that was one of them that came up occasionally in the discussion with the joint boards over how can we save the state money, reduce the amount of effort that the Department of Fish and Game and the other agencies have to undertake to support a Board of Fish process. Professional boards were discussed as opposed to a lay board. There were a variety of ideas of stretching out the length of time that a Board of Fish would take before it returned to a region. Instead of the three-year revolve through each region in the state, they could go to a 4 or 5 year revolve and possibly save the state some expense. That was in relationship to the constant circling back to the allocation battle that occurs in front of the Board of Fish in nearly all the regions of the state. But the conflict of interest is the biggest impediment to a commercial fisherman who has a wide variety of knowledge of both the cultural and the social and economic, all those aspects of our fisheries. You can have somebody who's really dedicated to their experience makes them an ideal candidate for that, and there are lots of those kind of people in the state, but it's very difficult to get them to submit their names for appointment to the Board of Fish because of the constraints that they operate under. If that changes, if the piece of legislation that I took a look at last week, who I'm very excited over, and the people I represent find that, are very grateful that somebody, I believe that was your chairman here, she introduced that. Mm-hmm. If that changes, then it would make it would shed a different light on the makeup of a statewide Board of Fish. 9 seats right now is a scary thought to us to have to go lobby 9 individuals in the state and return to a Board of Fish meeting every 3 years with more than what we had before, changing the voting mechanism, and a whole bunch of dynamics would change with 9 members, but it would be a greater relief or an easier subject for us to support if we had relief from the conflict of interest which constrains us.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Any other questions? And I'd like to welcome Representative Ortiz. Seeing none, in the room we also have Glenn Haight, as my committee chair indicated, and maybe we could have him step forward and address a couple of the issues that have been brought up for the record, please. Maybe you could address the conflict interest and what the current situation is insofar as being conflicted out, and if multiple member, how that would work with multiple members on the board.
Sure. Thank you. Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the House Finance Committee. For the record, my name is Glenn Haight. I'm the Executive Director of the Board of Fish and lead with board support section. In the audience also is Commissioner Cotton with our department, and Morgan Foss, our ledge liaison. I'll have to ask you to, if I could, Madam Chair, to repeat what it is you'd like me to address in terms of conflict.
Well, if you could address the current conflict issue that exists on the board when there is a conflict and what the process is. And also, I've got a couple questions, but if you start there, that would be just wonderful.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Are we talking about the conflict? Are we talking about ethics determinations?
Yes, we're talking about being conflicted out as a board member.
Thank you.
Currently under the statute.
Well, currently under the Ethics Act, the individual board members will provide their ethics disclosures, and in advance of the meeting, they'll determine which proposals they believe they might have a conflict on and ask to be recused from that. There's the option for other board members to object to perhaps proposals they don't believe they should be recused from, and then the board will vote on those.
Does the board vote on them, or does the chair make that determination as to whether or not they're conflicted out?
Thank you. Yes, Madam Chair, the board chair is the official ethics officer for the board. So that individual typically will work with the Department of Law and work with the chair in advance to determine which proposals those are. So the board will make that. Excuse me. The chair will make that call initially.
Unilaterally.
Yeah. Yes, Madam Chair.
And when they're conflicted out, that prevents them from entering any discussion what's the parameters on it?
That is correct, Madam Chair. When the individual is recused, they're to sit down during deliberation, so they're not able to participate in that level.
In the discussion or the vote?
Correct.
Okay, thank you. And insofar as the current appointees, are there any limits on geographical appointees? I'm just trying to get some information out for the committee. And as appointees are being made, is there a requirement to appoint people to represent different areas? Are there any parameters on that when the governor is making the appointments?
Madam Chair, specifically not. The statute seeks board members, and it has a number of things that they look for: strong in public policy, good decision makers, knowledgeable about the state. It specifically says it's not to be assigned on geographic preference or political affiliation, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Are there any other questions for Mr. Representative Ortiz?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Getting back to the conflict issue, when, in fact, a member feels like they have to reveal a potential conflict, does that in some cases, or even in many cases, by them not participating in the voting, even not participating in the discussion, in some cases, are these people kind of like the experts, kind of like the people who would have some very relevant information as to the particular issue at hand, and it might have a negative impact on the overall committee to do their work by them not having that input ability?
Thank you. Through the chair, Representative Ortiz, they certainly are experts in subject matters that they're recusing themselves from. For instance, we had our Kodiak Finfish meeting, and our member Jeffrey recused herself from probably 7 or 8 different proposals. Some, you know, with the levels removed from her particular operation, but when there was proposals dealing with fisheries right where she fishes, she certainly is an expert in what's going on there. Yes, you do remove that level of expertise from there.
Thank you. Are there any other questions? Oh, Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. And one of the concerns that's been relayed to me before is in this circumstance, just as Rep. Ortiz was illustrating, where an individual is conflicted out, that, you know, it is the person potentially best suited to make that decision or most well-informed because they're from that region, familiar with that fishery, et cetera. Do you think that having the couple additional members could, you know, allow a little bit of diversity among that membership and help in those circumstances and prevent some of those conflicts? I guess that's what I'm trying to understand, is how can that be avoided with a couple new members?
Yeah, thank you. Through the chair, Representative Tarr. So if I just, in the existing system, it's, let's say an individual is recused who has the expertise, those other new board members wouldn't necessarily mm-hmm. be able to replace that expertise, but they might be able to bring something else to bear. It's a hard question to answer without actually having the individuals in front of mm-hmm. you. Mm-hmm. There might be advantages to it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Any other questions?
Another question.
Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. I think right now the membership of the board and board of game and board of fish are the same with this 7-member membership. And so, you know, this may be beyond your area of expertise, given your position. But do you think that this, you know, that we should consider parity on the board of game, or I was just intrigued by the previous speaker's comments and was unaware of that process that had taken place going around for the statewide comments, and just the idea, for example, of like the regional boards that I had heard of, but was unfamiliar with the process where some of those ideas were generated, and just any thoughts you have, I guess.
Thank you. Through the chair, Representative Tarr. What I would propose to do is provide you with some of the results of that review. It's actually the committees of the joint board. We had members of fisheries and board of game involved, and the effort really was to look at ways to reduce cost. Mm-hmm. So that was the purpose of that review, and so we received a lot of input of all varied nature. So what I would do, propose, is to get you some results back from that review.
Thank you.
Thank you. If you would provide those to the chair, and we'll distribute them to the committee. Representative Eastman?
Through the chair, can you tell us what are the quorum requirements for the board, and how would those be impacted by the new members?
Thank you, through the chair. Representative Eastman, it's four votes required to pass anything with the Board of Fisheries. So if you have a situation, this happened at the Southeast Finfish meeting in 2015, where we had six members to start with, one member. We're down one member. And on many occasions, two were recused from a particular proposal vote. We had to get all four members to agree to that. And so that's consistent even when we talk about voting on a objection for an individual's recusal. For instance, you still, even if you're down to six members, you still need to get four to carry that.
And how would that be impacted by new members?
Thank you, Madam Chair. It would switch to five. Five would be required.
Any other questions? Representative Ortiz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Going to the question of expanding the membership, I assume that you, as the executive director, are pretty familiar with the costs involved in the activities relating to the Fish Board. Would there be a substantial increase in those costs if we were to add two members?
Thank you. Through the chair, Representative Ortiz. I did provide a fiscal note for that, and it is estimated about $85,000 to increase the cost. There's two elements to that. One is pretty straightforward. If you were to bring two new members to the existing schedule, what would be the cost of that? And based on last 3 years' averages, it would be roughly $41,000. The other element to that, which is how much longer would the meetings be with two additional members there? You have 30% more board with two new members, and so we estimated that the meetings might be extended 20% longer, which is six more days, and that creates additional cost. Chair.
Follow-up, Representative Ortiz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm sure has in the progression of the Board of Fish over the years, with the addition of technologies, et cetera, go-to-meeting options, things like that. Have you looked at that as to whether or not that might be a mode to decrease your costs if you went to a kind of a go-to-meeting format for your Fish Board meetings? Would there be a significant downside to that approach, that kind of thing?
Thank you. Through the chair, Representative Ortiz, always appreciate questions about board process and making improvements. And yes, we've looked at various things. And with the governor's travel restrictions last year, we had to answer those questions, not so much for board members, but for other important staff. I guess I would just say this. If you go to one of the Board of Fisheries or Board of Games regulatory meetings, and you're there for the entire process, whether it's 4 days or 14 days, it is extremely interactive process where the board will be working on a certain issue, and if it gets to a point where it wants to pass a regulation and where it looks like it needs to take a step down, what will happen is you'll see various groups splinter out. Over here you'll see staff members working with a board member, working with Department of Law. Over here another board member is working with the public, working with other individuals. They're affected. It's a very in-person process, and I don't at this point don't know how it would work to have one, for instance, a teleconference. I don't know how you would come to the conclusions that the board's able to get to by having people in the room and working with them. So it would require some rethinking about how things are done. That would be my response at this point, Representative Ortiz. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Haidt.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Chenault, did you have some comment?
Thank you,
comment?
Madam Chairman. Yeah, Madam Chairman, just a point of order. And I'm just curious as to how the fisheries meetings are going to run.
In respect, Representative
Chenault. In respect that, and no malintent to my colleague from Southeast here, but are other members of the House going to be allowed to come up to the table and sit during a regular committee and ask questions on any other bill that's being proposed before the Fisheries Committee?
If they're an alternate, Mr. Representative Chenault, they are in fact invited up to the table, and it is up to the chair as to whether or not they'll be allowed to participate.
Thank you, Madam Chairman.
You're welcome. We will now take LIO testimony on this, and we have the Homer LIO, Wes Humbrid. Wes?
Yeah, that's right. My name is Wes Humbrid. I've been a resident of Homer, Alaska since 1971. I started fishing in Cook Inlet in 1966 and went back and forth between Washington. I moved there in 71. I feel that House Bill 88 is probably, my own intention is that it would be good if we added two more board members, but if they do, they have to be professional people, not politically driven. And if the governor appoints these two people, they should be vetted very carefully. And I would suggest that if you added them, you'd probably want to make sure that they were probably retired fish and game people, so they can be asked questions at the board. Or now, if you ask somebody with fish and game a question, you say we have, they don't make a decision one way or another. They always keep it to themselves. If you had a couple professional people on there that were from sport fish or from calm fish, retired state employees, or some professional people with some scientific knowledge, it would probably be really good to have them vetted so they can, when there's a question brought up at a board meeting, they can go ahead and ask some questions that the regular Department of Fish and Game would not answer because they're afraid of losing their job. I worked for the department for 5 years as an assistant boat officer on a research vessel, and I know how things had to be kept under cuff. And one of the problems we have with the system now is we got seven members, and if, for example, Cook Inlet, you have Peyton, Kane, and Ruffner on there. And we got this Cook Inlet board coming up, and all three of them could be conflicted out at one time. Here we go. We don't have enough people to make a right quorum vote. And I'm glad you brought this up, you guys on the committee and Mr. Stutz, because it's time something had to be done here. I've been to board meetings for I don't know how many years, and you go in there and it looks like you're finally going to get something done, and you walk out the door and you're on the way home after 14 days and spending all that money, and they have a board generator proposal come out that they're not supposed to do, and all of a sudden you get hit right between the eyes like we have in Cook Inlet for the last 3 years. The fishermen have just been beat to death, and I think adding two professional people onto this board would be a great asset, and I don't think they should be added on unless they are professional people. That's my own feeling, and thank you for your time.
And thank you for your testimony. Are there any questions? Representative Tarr.
Thank you for your testimony, and thank you, Madam Chairwoman. I'm just intrigued by your suggestion that the two members, you know, should be sort of categorically different than the other members. And one of the things that I've wondered about is, this is an issue I've thought a lot about here, that, you know, right now it's set up so the science, you know, and that the research work happens at the department. And in some ways, in my opinion, that sort of isolates that from the political battle that can be the allocation decision that happens at the Board of Fish. And what I was a no vote on Mr. Ruffner the first time around for that very reason, because some folks really liked his background and said that, you know, he would bring some of this scientific background to the board. But I just wonder from your experience if you can comment on that, and I just don't want I don't want the board to become a place where the science is disputed, and it's concerned me that if those items blend over that could possibly happen.
Yeah, Mrs. Tarr, through the chair, I see the conflicts all the time. And the Ruffner thing was just a slam dunk on somebody that was not necessarily there. And that's because the board in the past has taken and figured each area has a right to have a board member on there, and that's not the law. Mm-hmm. I think the whole principle of the whole thing was Mr. Ruffner used his scientific data. And it's just like I've been to some meetings here, and Israel Preet, and I'm very fond of some of the comments he has too, but I have a strong feeling that, you know, from the Matsu, Mr. Kane's going to go along with whatever the department does because he's a retired trooper. I don't know if I answered your question or not, Mrs. Tarr, but I just, something has to change because it's so politically driven, and I know it's going to be hard to get the politics out of this, but we have to do something. You had two professional people on the board from either side or whatever. A problem we have is when we go to a legislature and we appoint somebody to the board, a legislative body votes them yay or nay, and we've had, the last time we've had a representative from Cook Inlet had anything to do with the commercial fishing was Danny Garut in 1975. If you don't think that's a slap in the face of the commercial fishermen in the inlet, which is one of the biggest industries in the state, the second largest sockeye run, the largest mixed stock fishery in the United States, it gets really conflicting sometimes and we don't have representation. I think two people from the professional side, either sport fish or com fish, be put on the board and not have to be confirmed by the legislative body because they'd vote somebody out if they thought they're going to be bucking up against them, could only be a good thing, I think. I hope I answered your question.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Humbert. Are there any other questions? Thank you for your testimony. Next, we will go to Nanilchik, the Kenai LIO, John McCombs.
Good morning, Chairman Stutz. My name is John McCombs, and I've lived in Nanilchik for about four decades now. In a time of government cuts, this seems incongruent at best. Here on the Kenai, we finally have some representation on the board with Mr. Rossmer, and I appreciate that. As far as the process goes, initially the Board of Fish deliberated in Soldotna for Now, with seven board members, the board has shunned Soldotna for 18 years. The Board of Fish deliberates in Anchorage now after meeting 14 days instead of 4 or 5 days. The committee process has added another 9 days to a cumbersome process, not to mention excess, expense, and redundancy. The committee process has tended to replace the local advisory committees, which have been cut. So you want to add two members to the board, but you've cut the advisory committees and the travel, and that has cut down on the public input in the whole process. If adding to the board will provide the Kenai Peninsula rep on the board, I might agree, because we all know if you don't have a place at the table, you're probably on the menu. Finally, will the process be smoother? Will the process be less expensive? Will there be equitable representation? I really don't agree that diversity is a short path to consensus, and I think that adding two more board members will add time and expense to an already cumbersome process. So I'll leave it at that, and I thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you, Mr. McCombs. Are there any questions for Mr. McCombs? Thank you for your testimony. Seeing no questions, we will move on to the Cordova LIO. We have Clay Copeland.
Good morning, Chairman Stutz. I'm a Alaska resident since 1973 and have lived and worked in and around coastal communities. And in general, I'm in favor of broader representation. I think the complexity of the fisheries just continues to grow, and as we look at mariculture and other opportunities, I think a broader perspective and the more talent we can get on the board, the better. I think government works best when it works from the bottom up, first through the regional advisory committees and then through the board. I spent significant time this last couple of months trying to identify an individual from the Prince William Sound region, either Cordova or Whittier, who both have often the third largest fishery in the state. I think it's been 20 or 30 years from the research I looked at that since there's been representation from Prince William Sound, and I think it's important to have that local perspective and from the fishermen particularly and or professionals, as previous speaker mentioned. And the House Bill 87 that's being proposed, I think, really hits to a core point, is the conflict issue. It's very difficult to find anyone in either of these communities. Ultimately, we didn't put a name forward, primarily because most of the people who are most knowledgeable about the industry are fishermen, and they would be conflicted out. And the remaining pool just do not have the time available to commit to 7 and 8 and 9 day long meetings several times a year. So those are some general suggestions for improving the board. But at a time when the fishing industry offers opportunities for other fisheries and is a sustainable economy, and as our oil revenues and other income streams shrink, I think it's worth investing in the commercial fishing industry and trying to grow and improve that industry. So generally, I support smaller boards and smaller government, but this is one place where I think we need to support our fisheries and grow them any way we can. Thank you for the opportunity to testify.
Thank you. Thank you, Clay. And you mentioned House Bill 88, but you're testifying on House Bill 87, which is the expansion of the board, correct?
Yes, I'm testifying on 87. I'm
sorry. Right.
I thought 88 was the board and 87 was the conflict. But yes, I'm testifying in favor of expanding the board to 9 right. members, but I was also speaking to the conflict issue.
The conflict.
Yes.
Right. We just wanted to clarify that for the record. We appreciate it. Are there any questions for Clay? Thank you, Clay. Nice to hear from you.
Thank you.
We will now go to off-net testimony, and we have George Pierce in Kasilof. Mr. Pierce?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
My name's George Pierce. I live in Kasilof. I'm representing myself and my neighbors. This is a good idea, and they mentioned earlier experts. There is no experts on the fish board. You can add 2 or 22. Without science and biologists, you're not fixing the problem. The fish and game are controlled by special interest groups. We had the governor, the mayor, legislators, and 2 cities even offered to pay the fish board to come down to the peninsula. And they said no. The legislators have to fix the board of game members and tell them what to do. They have to have a say-so. The Kenai River Sport Fishing Associations control that fish board. You have to change the way things are done. Without changing it, you could add as many as you want, and it's going to be the same status quo. You have to require scientists and biologists. Robert Ruffner is the only one that is really qualified to be on that fish board, and he's a geologist. So there's a start. Get rid of the others and put biologists and scientists on. You know, if you're going to have a fish board meeting, they should be, or a fish and game board meeting, they should be in the area where the proposals are. Keep politics out. Stop stacking the deck on the fish boards. Mr. Chenault, you can step up and help us down here right now since you're in that meeting and stop what you're doing and enforce a better situation of what you're doing. And thank you for taking my testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Pierce. Are there any questions for Mr. Pierce? Seeing none, we will go to Steve Vanek in Ninilchik. Mr. Vanek?
Yes, do you hear me?
We can, if you'd state your name and affiliation for the record, please.
Yeah, my name is Steve Anik. I live in Ninilchik, and I'm representing myself. And I have the 9-member board for a couple of reasons. I've been on the local advisory board probably for 30-some years. I've been a commercial fisherman for over 50 years here in Cook Inlet. I sit on the aquaculture board and a number of other boards. And the length of time that the board of fish takes on these proposals in these areas is much too long. If you add 2 more people to the board, then what I've discovered, not discovered, but what I've noted all along is that everybody seems to think that they need to say something about a proposal or about what's up for discussion, even though they're repeating what someone else has said. So you add two more people on there, and you just add two more people who want to say something. And it just takes more time. Plus, as it was pointed out, it's going to add expenses and will add more time to the Board of Fish meetings because you've got two more people who want to say it, who want to talk. It's a kind of a human condition that it's my turn to say something instead of just sitting there and being quiet and voting when it comes time to vote. Now, as far as the question of composition of the board, which it isn't what you're talking about, but since people have talked about it, when you talk about three commercial, three sport, and one subsistence, it's a ridiculous situation to form a board in that manner. Because you run the risk of, there's been commercial fishermen on the board who aren't really commercial fishermen, who have no interest in representing the commercial fishery aspect of it. They're political appointees and people who might have commercial interests at heart are not confirmed because the politics get in the way and people come down to Juneau and tell the legislature, don't confirm this person, and so on and so forth, which you know about anyhow. So the gentleman from Juneau, I don't remember his name, but he came up with a lot of alternative suggestions for a board of fish or regional boards and stuff like that, and then Wes Humbert talked about a professional board. I think moving in that direction makes so much more sense than the idea of a lay board, which is too easily controlled by special interests. We need people who understand science and also social problems on the board. The board needs to be fixed, and it's not going to be fixed by adding two more people on it. It's just going to make it longer meetings and more political. So I'm opposed to adding more people on the board, and I've been on boards, and everybody wants to have their say-so, and it just makes things go longer. When you've got, like we do in Cook Inlet, I don't know, 200 or 300 proposals, and people want to talk about each one of them, and you got 9 people who are going to talk about it, it's going on and on. And the advisory committee members are only being paid for 5 days or something like that, not for the 2 weeks that the board meets. So
thank you, Mr. Vanek. If you could sum it up, please.
Communities, and that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Mr. Vanek? Seeing none, are there any further individuals in the room that would like to testify on this? Seeing none. With that, I will hold House Bill 88 in committee, leaving public testimony open at this time until next week. And being there is no further business to come before this committee, I will adjourn this meeting at 10:45. Please stick around for the Finance Subcommittee meeting.